I'd like to turn, please, to Numbers chapter 9. And with God's help, we'll try and get through several scriptures today. Now, again, my understanding is that I'm to take up the meetings of the assembly, or the assembly meeting. And so we look to the Lord for His help in this. I consider it to be a subject that is very difficult to exhaust. It's very difficult to actually take in, and it's certainly not going to happen just in one meeting now. So with God's help, we'll take it up again tonight and possibly Wednesday night. Now, as I take up this subject, last Wednesday night I began to take it up, and I tried to lay a foundation, and the foundation was to show that right from the beginning, Christianity, or the assembly, was severed from all natural resources, from all official order, from the religious establishment, from reliance on civil government, on anything but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So we tried to set that down, and we considered the fact that the Lord Jesus Himself even said in Acts chapter 1 that they were to wait till they were endued with power from on high, when the Holy Spirit of God would come upon them, because they were to be witnesses to Himself. First in Judea, or Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And so my position this morning will be, as we consider the meeting of the assembly and the assembly meeting, that the purpose of the assembly meeting is to be a witness to, a testimony to, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as it witnesses to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in itself is, in effect and by definition, giving witness to His deity, that He is the Son of God. Again, I want to repeat that. The primary purpose of the meeting of the assembly is to witness to the person of the Lord Jesus and to His resurrection. And by witnessing to His resurrection, you are witnessing that He is the Son of God. So then, if I might expand on that, the witness of the assembly is the very witness of the gospel. I want to repeat that. The witness and the testimony of the assembly when it meets is linked with giving witness and testimony to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The two are inseparable. And all that we do and how we function when we meet as an assembly in the assembly meeting is to witness to the person and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, I want to read in Numbers chapter 9, please. Beginning with verse 15. And that has to do, in the Old Testament, in this book of Numbers, when the tabernacle was finally set up and reared up. And then I want to look at terminology that we find here. It says, and on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle. Namely, now watch what it's called, the tent of the testimony. And at even, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. And so we find here, in the Old Testament, with this tabernacle being set up, that once it was reared up, that means once it was completed. And that is important. Something had been finished and completed. And that which was finished and completed came from God Himself. This is the tent that the Lord pitched and not man. So that tabernacle, now reared up on earth, gave witness to what God wanted witness to on earth. That there was something that God had done and that God had finished. And the cloud rested on the tabernacle. In other words, the cloud rested not on what man did, not on what man reared up, but on what God had done, what God had given, the tent that the Lord pitched, and not man. And so we see that uniquely here, at that very moment, on earth, it is called the tent of the testimony. I will suggest to you that in our day, it is the meeting of the assembly, where the cloud, as it were, rests. It is the glory of God. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself present with his people. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we read that when the assembly is gathered together and meeting in its constituted order given to us by God himself, the ignorant or the unbelieving person, when he comes in and he observes, there is a witness of God to his heart. And that person, though even unconverted, will fall down on his face. And he will report that God himself is truly among you. It is very important, therefore, may God help me, may God help you, that we might grasp this responsibility and purpose for the meeting of the assembly on earth. And it is to carry the testimony of God in the world. And in our day, it is the testimony of God in the person and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now I want to read something to you, and it comes from Coates, C.A. Coates, and his commentary in the book of Numbers. And it's a commentary here on verse 15 through 17 of Numbers 9. And he writes, "The cloud is seen covering the tabernacle of the tent of testimony. The testimony had now taken definite and complete form. That is, of course, in a typical way. There was something set up in this world which was of God in every detail. It was then material and typical, but it has now been set up in a real and spiritual way. The whole mind of God as to what he would have to be set forth in testimony has now taken form." As that was true of that tabernacle pitch there, so it is true of the assembly of believers and how we gather today. Now, that is, the thought here is, the thought suggested here in the tabernacle of testimony, when it was reared up, is that, in a nutshell, that the whole mind of God as to what he would have proclaimed in testimony has now been complete. It has taken form. So it is very important how Christians meet. He goes on, he says this, "The testimony of God is contemplated as something complete in itself, now committed into the hands of men, so that God may be served in relation to it, and that it may be carried through the wilderness without damage or deterioration." So there's another thought now. And you think of the Lord's Supper specifically. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim, witness to, the Lord's death till he come." And there you have the meaning of the assembly. In the assembly, Christ himself is present, and his ordinances, his commandments, his truth has been entrusted to us. And just like that nation in the Old Testament, that testimony of God was entrusted to them and given to them, and they were to carry it through the wilderness for all those years, and they were responsible to see that it wasn't damaged, and they were responsible to see that it did not deteriorate. And so we have a tremendous responsibility, don't we, to preserve that faith which was once for all given to the saints. And to see to it that how we handle truth, how we maintain truth, how we witness to the truth teach it, preserve it in the assembly is done so that the generation to come does not receive a deteriorated testimony. We are to see to it that the truth is preserved. You think of that terminology in Revelation 2 and 3. Hold fast what you have till I come. So even the Lord recognizes there has been deterioration. Not in what He has given us, but in how we've handled it. Yet He says, this is a thing to strive for as an individual believer in relationship to the assembly and to the assembly meeting. And that is to contribute of our energy, of our gift, of our efforts, of our service, to see to it that we hold what we've got and we maintain it till He comes. Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. And so we find a tremendous emphasis, don't we, in the Word of God on the seriousness of the truth that is preserved and held in the assembly. May God help us to that end. Because the truth of God, the Word of God, is lost in the house of God. You realize that? The Word of God, the truth of God can't be lost. Well, where there is no witness to God. The truth of God, the Word of God is lost in the house of God. And the wonder of it is this, that the truth of God and the Word of God can only be recovered in that house. May God help us to these things. And so, now to continue reading quickly here, it says again, the testimony of God is contemplated as something complete in itself, now committed into the hands of men, so that God may be served in relation to it, and that it may be carried through the wilderness without damage or deterioration. And so again, that God might be served in relation to it, when you had that Old Testament tabernacle, every Jew was linked to that testimony. And every Jewish life was linked to that testimony. His life was there. His service was there. His all was there. They were not separated. He could not go off and wander on his own. All of the life was centered around. And all of his service and all of his capacity to serve God was linked with that tent that the Lord had pitched. And it speaks to us today of the responsibility and the need to be faithful to the assembly and to the meetings of the assembly and to guard against this tremendous phenomenon of our day that talks about serving the Lord in capacities that are severed and not linked to God's local assembly and church. Explanation. Too much of Christian service today is linked with career. I want to be a youth worker. I'm going to university. I want to be a youth worker. I'm going to Bible school to be a youth worker. The point being, every one of us has been called to serve the Lord. And the place of God's appointment for everyone to serve the Lord is first and foremost in His local church. May God help us to not fall away into that thinking that I want to be in the ministry. And now the ministry is going to school to enable us to have some capacity to serve in some organization that is man-made. And it is not the tent that the Lord pitched the local church. These things are critically important. Every Christian today is to be in local church fellowship. And it is in the local assembly where the Lord Jesus Christ presences in Himself that each one of us is first and foremost to present ourselves to the living Lord. Now, having said that then, the people of God are all set here in this picture of the tabernacle. The people of God are all, not most of them, all set according or in relation to the tent of testimony. And again, I think of 1 Corinthians 12. And what does he say? That God has set the members, each of them, in the body. And that was written to a local church, as it has pleased him. And so, which local assembly you go to is a very important issue, because you should be brought there by God himself. And when you come and you gather in the local assembly that you're in fellowship with, you are to come with the conviction of heart that it is the living Lord who has led you there and set you there. And you are there to serve Him. And that being the foremost responsibility of your priesthood. And so, there in that tabernacle, all the tribes and all the people set in relation to that testimony. And you have been given gifts, haven't you? I've been given gifts that we might all come and there in relation to that testimony function according to where He has placed us. Oh, what an important thing it is to be satisfied with who I am. What an important thing it is for you to be satisfied with who God made you and to be satisfied to function and serve in the place that He has set you for His testimony on earth. There is no greater privilege. There is no greater purpose. And it is there in that local church context where we are set and where we're called to meet the Lord that it's said of us that we know that we've been placed there as it has pleased Him. And there is no greater creature privilege than to know in the heart, privately and intimately, before the Lord Himself, that I am where He has put me, and that my functioning there, though none might recognize it, pleases Him. You can't do anything greater in life than to please the Lord. You know, there's only one way I can please the Lord, by being whom He made me, Henry Sardine. You can never please the Lord by trying to be me. And the wonder is this. You don't have to try and be me or anybody else, because the only way you can please the Lord is by being you and being and functioning in service where He has appointed. What a tremendous thing that is. What a liberating thing that is, isn't it? The wonder of it. That in my heart, the living Lord who died for me to give me a purpose and a reason to function and serve in His eternal purposes. And I, little me, please. There's no greater joy. There's no greater satisfaction. There's no greater purpose or fulfillment than that. And so, the people of God are all set in relation to the tent of testimony. It is our bond holding us in unity. It is our chief interest and holy charge. And it is in relation to it that we serve God. If we're not being faithful to the local assembly, we are not being faithful to the true service of God. The cloud covers that tabernacle there. It is the one thing which God sanctions as being altogether of Himself and constituting His testimony. The cloud does not cover what is of man. It rests on what the Lord has pitched and not man. So I want to repeat that aspect of it because I find it so powerful. And it is this, that the cloud covers that. It is the one thing which God sanctions as being altogether of Himself and constituting His testimony. May the Lord help us to get that in our hearts. And to see and understand the absolute wonder of the meeting of the assembly on New Testament ground gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not by accident that when we come into the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3 specifically, you find there, with the Lord's testimony, linked with the assembly, and how the Lord today on earth is seen walking in the midst of His local churches. The seven churches were in Asia. They were seven local churches. And you have there presented in that magnificent form the wonder of the living Christ, taken up with, preoccupied with, focused on, and walking in the midst of His local churches. That is what is of God on earth today. And that is where, by God's grace and help, we are to find our place of satisfaction as we serve Him. In my mind, it goes back to some of the things that we experienced this morning, even in the Lord's Supper. And it has to do with being satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. being satisfied with what He has made us, what He has appointed us to be, and being taken up again with God's testimony that He has pitched on earth. So much today, and I know how I battle it in my own life. We're all the same, aren't we? We're all looking for satisfaction. We're all looking for meaning. We're all looking for entertainment, to be stimulated. We're all looking to feel good. We're all looking to be happy. There's nothing wrong with those things, is there? But it cannot be the driving force of the pursuit of our hearts, because it is self-centered, isn't it? It must be the person of Christ and His testimony here on earth. What an important thing it is, therefore, to learn again to be satisfied and to serve concerning His mind and His appointment. It's critical in the life. We need grace for it. I never forget those words. Christ loved the assembly and gave Himself for it. And if you and I want to give ourselves to what Christ gave Himself, we're to give ourselves to the edification of His people in the local assembly, to His witness in the local assembly. This is very important. You know, today the little bracelet goes around. What is it? WWJD. If they're sincere as to the question, what would Jesus do? Well, here's what He'd do. He'd be in the local assembly. That's where He's serving. That's what He's preoccupied with. May God help us again. So much today called Christian, man-made organizations that aren't Christian. Because if you're going to define what is Christian, Christian is that which is linked to the head in heaven. Yes. And you know, there is no such thing technically as Christian radio. There is no such thing as Christian school. There is no such thing as Christian music. No. Because to be Christian means to be linked in living union with the Christ in heaven. And there's only two ways that that happens. Individually, by personal faith in the Lord Jesus, and corporately, when those who are individually linked gather in His name and He presses Himself. May God help us in these things. That's what's Christian, you see. And we might call Christian many things, but they're not technically Christian. The assembly is God-ordained. It is God's work. It is done, instituted by Him. And as the Scripture calls it, the pillar and ground of the truth. May God help us. Now, with that in mind, again, the thought of testimony and this tremendous responsibility. And so I want to go through certain points back to that the assembly's mission is testimony, witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By it, His deity. And so, what is the gospel? Well, 1 Corinthians 15, how Christ died for our sins, not any old way, according to the Scripture. Right? How He was buried, and how He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. So there you have it. That's the gospel. And what is the assembly to do in the way that it meets? It is to witness to that completed work of God, now finished on this planet. For all the things, said Peter, that the prophets have spoken concerning that Christ should suffer, He has thus fulfilled. We live in a unique day of fulfillment, you see. And this is our great witness, the witness of the gospel. The person and the finished work of Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His ascension to glory at God's right hand. With that in mind, therefore, I want to look at the things that are absolutely necessary in order that that witness of the assembly meeting might be true and might be of God. And so the first thing that I want to bring out is, number one, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is indispensable that the assembly gather and meet only in that name. And I would suggest to you that any time you have Christians that, and we can come together for many different reasons, like we can have the Sunday school picnic next Saturday. It's a wonderful thing for Christians to have activities and to do things. That's fine. We're talking about the official meeting of the assembly. We're talking about Congress, let's say. And Congress, well, when the Congress gathers, when meets, they're all standing around, they're all yabba, 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 all into their own personal communication, and then the person that presides, bam, hits the thing, and the Congress is now called to session. And everything changes at that moment, doesn't it? The conversation changes, the activity changes, because now you have the official meeting, don't you? And this is what I'm talking about. The meeting of the church when it meets officially under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ in that name, called by the authority of Christ himself. And so, this is the first thing, the name. How important it is that when we meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at that for a moment. There's much meeting today, but doesn't meet in that name. I would suggest to you that we have no authority to meet as an assembly other than in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would also suggest to you that we, or Christians, have no authority to break bread, to participate in those ordinances in that sense, unless they are meeting only in that name. And if we're not meeting in that name, we're not proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. Now, I want to go, first of all, again, the importance of meeting in that name, how it's linked to the gospel. And the first thing is because it's our authority. Now, we're in the Old Testament, so let's go to Deuteronomy 12 just for a moment, please. We have no authority to meet in any other name as an assembly official meeting. So, the name of the Lord Jesus, because it's our authority. We meet thus by his authority. And apart from him, we have no authority of God. And so, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, I want to bring in a couple of points. It says this, verse 1, these are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. And then, verse 5, you are to go, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even to his habitation shall you seek, and there thou shalt come. And there you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that you put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. And then it goes on, verse 13. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. Verse 14. But in the place which the Lord shall choose, in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. And then, verse 19, take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. That's the priesthood. And then, verse 26, only thy holy things which thou hast and thy vows thou shalt take and go unto the place which the Lord shall choose. And thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, the flesh and thy blood, upon the altar of the Lord thy God, and the blood of thy sacrifices shall be poured out upon the altar of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt eat the flesh. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. And then verse 32, what things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And so, again, they were to go to the place where the Lord chose to put his name there. I want to focus on that word observe here in Deuteronomy 12. And I think we're going to go back to this later, but not now. I don't have time. But notice that they were to go to that place where the Lord put his name. In other words, his authority was there. And all that was done there was now done under his authority. And you will see that there was much that they could do in the land. And it doesn't mean that they could live outside of his authority, but the authority of the Lord that stretched over all the land was distinct from his unique authority in his dwelling place where his name was. You see, now you were coming into his house. You were entering into his own habitation. And it was there where he put his name. And there was where the service was to take place, the sacrifices, the offerings. These things were to be brought there. They weren't to be taken everywhere else. They had to be brought there. And there in that place, it was to be done according to his commandment. And the unique word is observe. I bring that in because what they were to observe was the commandment of the Lord. So that you come into Matthew 28, for instance. If we can go into the New Testament. And again, we're talking about that name. We're to gather in that name because it's our only authority to meet. It must be in his name, under his lordship, under his headship. And so, when you come to Matthew chapter 28, notice how it's linked to the gospel. When we meet in any other manner or name other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are failing in your witness to the gospel. For Matthew 28 says this, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to, there's the word, observe, you see. Back to Deuteronomy. Yes, oh, thank God for receiving Christ by faith, but the gospel doesn't end there, you see. Now, those who receive Christ by faith are to learn to be followers, disciples. They're to now live life observing all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Simply going out and preaching the gospel to see souls saved is not the fulfillment of the Great Commission. The mind of God would have those who receive the Lord Jesus to now take up their place in relation to the tent of testimony that God has pitched on earth. And that is the congregation of Christians when they come to meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there they live and function under the commandments of the Lord, observing all things that he has commanded us. So when we neglect that, when we gather by anything of man, any name of man, any denominational type, it is a failure in our witness to the gospel of the Lord Jesus, which says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. And it is only he who has the authority to congregate and gather the people of God. Yea, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all peoples to myself. Now, with this issue of observe, go just for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And the epistle to the Corinthians is a very beautiful and interesting and unique epistle because it deals with the function of the local assembly. And so, you will find, actually, don't go to 14. Go to chapter 1, and then we'll go to 14. And here's why. Again, the assembly's mission to witness to the person and the work of the Lord Jesus, the assembly must gather in his name alone, or else that witness is hindered. And so, when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 2, it says, unto the assembly of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. That is the assembly. It comes together calling on the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Now, if you keep your finger here in one, because I want to go back to it for a moment, and then turn to chapter 14, please. Notice what Paul says. This is over against Deuteronomy, where Moses commanded the commandments of the Lord. And now in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, it says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the, what? Commandments of the Lord. We're to observe all that the Lord has commanded us. And we have given to us from the apostles in the epistles the commandments that came to us from the Lord himself. So that in chapter 11 and verse 23, notice the terminology. For I have received of the Lord that which I also, what? Deliver to you. The local church, the meeting of the assembly. We are to there observe to do all that the Lord hath commanded us. And so now, we don't follow Moses. We follow that which has come to us from God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the first point, we must gather in that name, for it is the only authority of God for testimony on earth. And let me just give you point B. Perhaps tonight we'll expound on it more. Number one, how does gathering in that name witness to the deity of the Lord Jesus? Because it says that all authority is given to him. And that when we gather in that name, we have all the authority we need to have. Because apart from that name, there is no other authority. And let me ask you, who and who alone can have all the authority there is to have? Only God can. No one less than God can have all the authority there is to have. And if the Lord Jesus Christ has all authority, and there is no other authority to meet and congregate other than in his name, it witnesses to the fact that he is the Son of God. Second, why that name alone? Well, it goes back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Notice it again. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Why that name alone? Well, not only because there's no authority but that name, but here's the second one. He's the only name big enough to save out of every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation. Anytime you meet in any name other than that name, you've limited the gospel to that name. The only name, I tell you, that is the name that represents the God, not of the Jew only, but the God of the Gentile. For there is no difference. For God is not a respecter of persons. For God is rich to all who call upon him, you say. And the only name that's big enough to win your heart, to bow you down, to teach you who God is, and to experience the love of God for you. Whether you're black, or pretty like me, or white, or brown, or red, or fat, or Cuban, or Russian, oh, the only name that's big enough is the name of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself. Why is that a witness to the gospel? Or hear it this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. We cannot congregate and meet as an assembly in any other name. For if we do, we have limited the gospel and its capacity to reach and say, out of every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation. May God help us to see the importance. of meeting only in that name. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Our Father, we give Thee thanks and we ask that Thou would, O God, teach our hearts and teach us, Father, that these things are not just man-held things that some prefer over others, but that these are truths that are God's truth, linked with God's testimony. And it is the truth, that meeting that is pitched by God, set up and ordained by God, where God's glory covers it. Help us, we pray, to be there. Help us to see the practical importance of these things, not just a dogmatic preference, but the true practical importance of these things, and that God did not ordain these things arbitrarily, but there's a reason for it. For we proclaim none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God. And we can say, like Paul, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it and it alone is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Help us, we pray, our Father. And as we endeavor to do these things, Father, we know how they can lead to pride, how they can lead to giving us a sense of how we're better, how we've got a corner on truth, and how we do things better than others. Keep us from that proud spirit, we pray, our Father. Help us in true sincerity and submission of heart to take up our place in relation to the testimony of God on earth in His local assembly. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, and for His glory we ask it.